Greetings to the congregation. Also, greetings to those at home worshiping online. This morning, we praise God. We have the ability to worship here, and many of us are the first time returning. In the past week, we have thought of the work of the God. According to His attribute, He is full of mercy, slow of anger, and full of grace. In everything that He does, God does it in His own attribute. After God has done, we put a question, God called, who is the one who loves me? How do we respond to that question from God? The title today is Talk About Keeping His Commandment. Whoever loves me will keep my commandment. My Father will love me so that we can come and dwell with them. There's a story about a king in the east needed a management, a manager. Two were nominated for the king to select, and the king gave them a strainer and a water container, go to the well and said, put the water, carry the water and put into the strainer to make it full. And one of them has been paid. They are paid for one day. And when they come, one of them said, this is a strange thing from the king. Who would carry the water put in the strainer? And the other said, whatever the king wants, we have been paid. So we continue to do what the king commanded. And after a few hours in the noon, one of them just said, I'm not going to do this anymore. If you want to punish me, I will receive that punishment. But to do something is very stupid. Carry the water into the strainer, and then how can we make it full? The strain of food. And so that person went away. Remaining one, he continued to obey the king for the work of that day, carry the water from the container and put it in the strainer in the almost evening. And now the oil is beginning to dry. And in his water container, and you look at that, a ring of diamond ring from the king. And now you can understand why the king wanted to put the water into the strainer, because the king wanted to find that ring. And at that point, the king came and he gave that ring to the king and said, this is what you have found, ask me to find. The king said, no, this is your reward, your effort of this day. But the greater one I want to tell you is from now on, you will be in my house to be a manager for me. Dear congregation, when we keep the commandments of God, that is a special value that we've been taught by God. That whoever keeps God's commandments, my Father will love them. We will come and dwell with Him. Let's continue to examine through what Jesus has replied to His apostle. And we can respond to God today. If God is asking us a question, who among of you love me? May God bless you and guide us. Let's turn our heart for prayer. We thank you for the love that you have given us, that you have accepted us. You have done all for you because you are a God full of mercy, slow of anger, and full of grace. All that God has done for us has a purpose very beneficial to our lives. That is, you will come into our life and will be with us forever. May your word this morning guide us into your truth so we can answer the question that Jesus can ask each one of us. In all of you, who will love me? May we be responding to your question. We thank you. We live up this hour before you. Let us hear the teaching of the word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Based on verse 23rd, Jesus said, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make your home with them. There are three things that we want to examine. First, the obedience is not a selection, a choice. Obeying God's word will bring us blessing. And keeping the commandment will reinforce the relationship. Keeping the commandment is not a choice. Jesus said, whoever loves me and keep my commandment, whoever does not love me, then we do not love Jesus. When God tells us this, we can see that there is an obligation. There is the relationship between loving God and keeping His commandment. When God, when someone loves God, then must obey. There is no other way. So keeping the commandment is not a choice of mine or yours before the word of God, but it is a law. It's a law, a purpose, so that we can follow that law. John verse chapter, John chapter 4. If we read this, John, this chapter, there is an assignment, among the relationship between Jesus with his apostle. In John chapter 14, Jesus replied many questions from his apostle when they followed Jesus. Thomas had put to Jesus. Jesus said, you go, but we don't know where you are going. How do we know where you are going? Jesus had answered, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Without me, nobody can come to the Father. And then Jesus replied to Philip, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even if I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. And now Judas is not Judas Iscariot. It's Jude. Another name, and his name is Judah, Tabe. Another name is a son of James. Judah Iscariot is son of Simon Iscariot. So, and this Judah put a question, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?
Here,
Jesus
has
replied to all who put faith in him. Need to know. Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. Verse 21, Jesus said, whoever receives and keeps the commandment of the Jesus, the Father will love those. And so the Son will also love them. Both will come and reveal them to that person. So now, God revealed those who live love to Him must keep a command for a purpose. And through this obedience, God will reveal God to that person who keep that commandment. When we love God and keep His commandment, are they in parallel? Are they going together? Normally, when we do something to express our love for God, for example, we can say, dear God, I love you, so each I want to register and worship you here. Because I love you, Lord, so each week I bring offering to you regularly, or because I love you, Lord, I read the Word of God every day. Because I love you, Lord, I help the poor. Because I love you, Lord, I keep my prayer continuously praying. Maybe there are different things that we tell God that because I love you, I have done this thing and that thing. But what Jesus wants is from us is if whoever loves me keeps my commandments. Obedience to his commandment is a metric to express our love to God. Here, God show us that God's word for each one of us very different. It depends on the spiritual condition. It depends on our understanding of the Lord. It depends on our relationship with God. How close it is that his teaching will be different for each of us. They are not the same from one person to another because of that. Jesus said, when the word of God teach someone, we are weak. Take that commandment for us. Whoever loves the Father will keep out my commandment that I have been teaching you, Jesus said. If there is someone that we could not love, but the word of God said, encourages in our heart, you must love that person. Is it easy? No, it's not easy. I can love someone, but that person, I couldn't love that person. We can forgive somebody, but there are certain persons who make us, bring us great pains and great suffering. And the word of God said, I want to forgive that person. Are we ready to forgive? It's very difficult. If we in a condition that we are rich, it's comfortable in our belonging, that God wants us to be helpful. Oh, maybe this is so easy for us. But right now, I'm in the situation of lacking many things, but God has asked us to help someone who is poorer than us. Is that easy? No, it's difficult. So that when God asks us, the things that in our logic to love someone who could not be loved, forgive to someone I could not forgive, help someone that when myself is lacking in poor condition, and whatever you said, it's almost like just a king as the his to carry the war into the stranger. Very difficult. The word of God teach us of there's something like that. And when Jesus said, if you love me, then keep my commandment. That causes us to think that though there are what God has required of us in our life, maybe outside of our thinking, because could not understand why we are asked to do, but we must understand. Jesus said, whoever loves me, keep my commandment. It is not a choice. It is a way of life. It is a evidence that we have God on us. It is a sign to speak up our faithfulness. Doesn't matter how much we understand about God. Though we have a understand God completely, God will ask us, whoever loves me, keep my commandment. When Jesus used the word whoever expressed a very personal relationship, whoever loves me, keep my commandment. Whoever wants to follow me, carry the cross and follow me. Whoever has ear, then hear the word of God, the word of the Holy Spirit to the church. Whoever that means a different relationship. But when Jesus talked about that, that Jesus knows that relationship of each one. If that person sitting here say that, I love the Lord, I don't see that, but Jesus can see into our heart. Jesus will examine, will know that, that we love us. The love cannot express in our deeds of going to the church or by the word of bringing the Bible in our hand. But God looks inside of our heart to see if we love God or not. And if someone who loves the Lord, that person will keep commandment. Jesus said, whoever keep the commandment is someone who loves the Lord. Who could not keep the commandment? Oh, very good teacher, it's so difficult. I could not, it's very strange. And God said, that's the person who does not love God. And so the love of the Lord must be in parallel with the keeping of his commandment. And God, whoever, God can see into deep into our heart to know that, do we love the Lord? And do we obey his commandment? Obedience is in a personal relationship with the Lord. And the love of that is in that relationship that Jesus said, I see in your heart, Jesus said. And the obedience is not, it's a choice. It is a requirement of God for you and me to express that our hearts love the Lord. The second point, the keeping of commandment bring blessings. In the key verse, whoever loves me and my Father will love that person. Judah Iscariot means has a courageous heart. He put forward a question, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? He has a desire to understand there is something different between the apostle and the world, that God revealed himself and not to the world. In the Bible, says that God has expressed himself, revealed himself to the world. He revealed his love to the world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, so that he can give his only begotten Son. When he revealed his love, that is love for everyone. Why? We die because of our sin. The Christ died for us. While we are yet sinners, the love of Jesus is for everyone. And that love is love. This is a complete, perfect love. You and I, nothing we can do to make God love us more. Nothing we can do, because the love of God is already perfect. At the maximum level, God will not love more someone who is righteous, who has or love more than a sinner. Love is his attribute. When God loves, though that person is bad or good, God will give each one of us the same love. But now Jesus says, my Father will love them. Does that mean if we go to church, if we do something for the church, then love that person more? No. The love of God is not, God will love more. But the important thing that Jesus said here is that I will reveal myself to him. My Father will love them, and my Father will reveal himself, Jesus, to those who keep commandment more. That means the understanding of Jesus in you and me will increase if our heart love the Lord and keep his commandment. There are many blessings that give the whole world for Jesus, like God on the cross for the whole world. Jesus' blood on the cross is for everyone on this earth, from Adam until the end of the world. But now the Bible has promises those who belong to God. For example, in John chapter 15, verse 14 and 15, Jesus tell his apostles like this: I do not call you the servants, but I call you friends. Why? Because I review the Father has wanted me to reveal to you. In that relationship, God regarded the Son of God has a larger viewpoint. God revealed himself more to those who love him. I do not regard as servants. Now I regard you as friends. In John chapter 14, verse 37, I give you the peace, not like the world gives. And God has not brought peace to the world. No, peace has come into the world because the angels, peace on earth, a blessing, grace to the world. The peace of the Lord has come. But now I give you peace, Jesus said. It's not like the world gives. Because that peace is the peace of those who have been sent into the world. And when God sent someone, just like the lamb among the wolves, and this peace to protect these lambs among the wolves. That peace is not peace as given to the world to reconcile the world to God. It is a peace, even the situation could be changing. In John chapter 20, verse 17, when God resurrected from the dead, he told Mary Magdalene, announce to my brother, I have been resurrected. I will return to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. Jesus has never has used this with anyone. In the Old Testament, now, after the resurrection, and Jesus said, I will return to my Father and your Father. And he brought that relationship from the apostle to the God, become a Father. It's very close, just like a relationship between Jesus and the Lord. That could not be had by anyone, only be had by whoever put faith in him. He revealed himself completely, my God and your God. In John chapter 20, verse 21 to 22, Jesus appeared to his apostle, and then he breathed the Holy Spirit on the apostle so that they can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Peace be with you. Jesus told them, my Father has sent me, and I will send you the same way. There is a special thing that God has breathed the Holy Spirit onto the apostle. Jesus could not breathe Holy for a person, only the person to the chosen, whoever loved the Lord, that can receive the Holy Spirit, because God has given us very special. I have sent you, just like the Father has sent me. This is a mystery. It's very special. But all that, what God promised this church, God has promised those who put their faith on Jesus. When someone loved the Lord, God revealed himself so that the blessing is very personal. For example, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 17 to 18, when he asked, Jesus said, who do the people name me? could call him Jesus as Jeremy or Haley or some prophet. How about you? Who do you call that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. From where does Peter has that understanding to express it? Jesus said, oh Peter, you are blessed. Very blessed, because that is my Father revealed to you. If God does not reveal to Peter, Peter would not have that understanding. If God does not reveal you and me, nobody can understand what Jesus said. For there are many people understand Jesus incorrectly, understand with the flesh, not according to the Bible, because that person has not loved the Lord. Because of that, God could not reveal that himself to that person to understand correctly. And Peter had received a revelation, very special, understand about Jesus in a right way, and called Jesus the right name. And Jesus said, you are Peter, you are the rock. I will build my church upon this rock. I give you the key of heaven. Jesus could not give the key to anyone else, but Jesus tells Peter, I give you the key of the heaven. Why? Because Jesus trusts into Peter. Because the relationship and Peter and Jesus has become a stronger when Peter understands that Jesus is the Son of God, is the Christ, is the Messiah. In John chapter 1, verse 15 through 19, after Jesus resurrected from them, he came to Peter and talked to him. And Jesus determined three questions, three times. Do you love me, Peter? Three times. Peter said, replied, yes, Lord, I love you. And because of that determination, feed my sheep. And because of that relation, that because so strong between Peter and Jesus, it's become a sweet relationship. Now, Jesus gave Peter an obligation, feed my sheep. When Paul became a servant of the Lord, in Galatians chapter 1, verse 16, God has revealed his Son to me and gave me the responsibility to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. All have must to teach the truth of God, to baptize with Paul. I have received a special mission, a responsibility that he gave me, the responsibility to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. The congregation, all of that show us that if we love the Lord, God will reveal himself to that person in a personal way. That person will understand about the Lord more. He will see his responsibility, even just like Peter. When Peter has put Peter to come feed his sheep, Jesus also said, Jesus said, one day when you become old, you will show your hand that they will lead you and lead to a place that you will not know. And the Bible says, Jesus said that to say how Peter would die to glorify the Lord. Not just the way of life, but even his death, the way that Peter died, can glorify the Lord. Only one who loves the Lord and keep his commandment, then God can reveal himself to that person. Now we see that a blessing, my Father will love those who love me, because God will come to that person personally to reveal himself to that person. Those who keep the commandments is very more special. We thank the Lord because the blessing that God has pressed in those who love him to give him a responsibility, a larger responsibility. You think you are given a larger responsibility, or only Sunday I can do this a few things for the church, that's enough. Or every Sunday I can do something to sing before the Lord. Is that's enough? Or some activity in the church, maybe that's enough. God is wanting many so that God can put a larger responsibility for that person. There's a story, a fable talking about one day when Jesus has completed his mission on earth, has died for all, gave the apostle responsibility, and Jesus returned, and the heaven is very happy. Welcome Jesus back. Oh Jesus, you have completed your mission. Jesus said, yes, I have completed the mission that has been set by the Father. How about on earth? Who will continue? I give those to Peter, to James, to John, to Philip, all my brother down in the earth. And the angel asked, dear Jesus, but what if you have a second plan? Is there any other plan? If those on earth could not complete their responsibility, their mission that you have given them, Jesus shook his head and said, no, I do not have another plan. I trust them. The congregation, maybe it's just a story they are thinking, but do you think that each one of us is one that Jesus will ask? If you love me, that God can give us a responsibility like Peter, that we can receive something, a larger responsibility. God is wanting each one of us ready for him to be given a responsibility. I think today, in our, that we receive from Jesus, when Jesus gave his church, when you bring this cup and eat this bread and preach my death until I come, maybe we have not completed this responsibility. There are so many in our relatives have not known Jesus. How many among our friends, that is close friends, have not received Jesus? And I think that our responsibility is what God has given us to do. Because God will not trust anyone. God will trust those who love the Lord and keep his commandment. And if we are satisfied just with the word of church, we just satisfied with just those offering. We're satisfied because we help the poor. We are satisfied when we read the Bible and pray, but we do not complete that God told us that who loves me, then keep on what I teach them. Maybe we are disappointing Jesus because Jesus said, whoever loves me, keep my commandment, and whoever does not keep the commandment does not love Jesus. The third point that we can think about, the keeping of the commandment to reinforce the relationship. Keeping is not a choice. Keeping the commandment will give us the blessing. But keeping the commandment can reinforce that relationship. We can come and dwell in him. Who are the we? That's the Trinity. When God used the word we, God said about the Trinity. Let's think about it. The first thing God created Adam, used the dust to create Adam and this world, but the Bible said after God created, God breathed into the nostril of Adam. He breathed his living breath into the life of Adam, or he gave the spirit into Adam so that the person has a soul, has the life of the Lord living in them, and the soul is everlasting. There is no other creation has that except the man that God created. He has the soul. In chapter 6 of Genesis, Adam committed sin. The descendant commits sin more and more. In chapter 6, verse 3, Jesus said, "My spirit, the Holy Spirit, is no longer with the man." We have been created for a purpose that we become something of everlasting to be with God. But God said, My spirit is no longer with man. That means the purpose that God created for man has been broken because of the sinful nature has entered into the human race. In the Old Testament, the spirit is not with each one that has promised. Just like Jesus promised the Holy Spirit. But when God used someone in the Old Testament, like David, and the Holy Spirit moved David, the Holy Spirit come to be with Jesus in that time that God wanted David to have. When God used Samson, the Holy Spirit must be on Samson so that he can carry that God has given him. The Spirit of God come, but not always be with that person. David can feel this, and when he commits sin against the Lord, he prays with the Lord in Psalm 51 verse 11, "Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me." Because without the Holy Spirit, that person cannot live worthy of the Lord. He felt that he needed always in his life, because without the Holy Spirit, that David has committed sin against the Lord. The time that without the overseeing of the Holy Spirit, it's easy for us to commit sin. So God, "Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me," David said. When this time of grace, Jesus promised his apostle as well as to each one of us, "When I go, I will ask my Father to send the Spirit to you." And before Jesus returned to heaven, he breathed into his apostle. The breathing of the Holy Spirit into the apostle, just like when God has breathed Holy Spirit into Adam, when upon creation, the living life is our life. And here Jesus explained, the Trinity will be with us. Though the promise of Jesus said, "When I go, I will ask the Father to give Holy Spirit to be with you." That means only the Holy Spirit is living within the believers. But Jesus said that in that Holy Spirit, there are three Trinity will also be in that person. With his plan, there is one commandment that person will be receiving the Lord. Jesus will give the word of God so that person continue to keep the commandment. And the Holy Spirit will enter into the life of that person to make the Jesus word that Jesus has committed continue to be actualized in the person's life. So Jesus will come and the Father will be with us. Praise be to God. Thank the Lord. This is something wonderful God has done for us today. Because God has chosen each of their heart as the place of dwelling for the Lord. When Solomon built a temple to the Lord, he said, he prayed that even the heaven could not contain the Lord. Well, this temple would not be able to hold the Lord. God does not live in the temple that built by human hands. God is not in the church that we build, but God said, I chose your heart who loves me to be a place of dwelling for me. There is a difference between a place called a house or a home. In English, we have the house is a place, some place that we live. But this other word is home. It's a place that we have a place. Jesus does not regard you and I as a house, but God regards our heart as a home. Our heart becomes his home. When talking about a house, we talk about a place where we live. When we talk about a home, that means talking about the relationship in that house. When we talk about a place, it's a location. But when we talk about home, we talk about many relationships of the person living there. When we talk about a place, a house, but when a home that has carried the love in that home, the house, we can move from house to house, but talking about the home that is something carry many of our memories there. And God wants to say, we want to come into the heart of a person to choose that heart to become a home, a place God can relate to us, a place the heart will have a sweet relationship with those who believe in him. So thank be to God, because God showed us, revealed to us a wonderful truth. Me can become a place that the Trinity can be in my heart. Who am I? What kind of person I am worthy of that the Trinity would want to come and live in me? God revealed to us there is only one way so we can experience that. Whoever loves me, keep my commandments. Whoever that Jesus wants to say is ready in their heart, a place that God can dwell. And those persons, those will be find our home in the everlasting home with God. This is an important decision. We must be ready. Our heart must be ready. Is my heart a home, a place for the Lord to be? There's a young Armenian. He was in went to America to study, and his father is a business in Iran. Every month sent money to his son in the U.S. so that he can study, and at the same time, he gets more money with the wish about his son, one day I will also will come to the U.S. and we will reunite, and we use that to live there, to create a life for us. The total amount, maybe $600,000. Totally. In the days that there are many temptations of this country there, and because of his money that he has, then he spent freely. And one day, when received his father's news, I was able, will come to live with you in the U.S. And now he was still begin to be afraid. All the money that his father has sent to invest it to have some business in the future, I have spent it all. The son is kind of wondering how he find a way. How can he have the money when he wants to buy a insurance, life insurance, $1 million of life insurance. If anything happened to me, then if the father cannot meet me, but he would not lose his own money. Now up to $1 million, he decided to buy this life insurance for himself. In July 1983, at his hometown, there are some protesting between the Iran and Armenian. And he decided to do one thing. He wanted to buy a detonation, put in a car to rent out and detonate his car. He thought that when they saw that, they think that that's because of the protesting between the two nations, and he's a victim, and so the life insurance will be awarded to his father. He feels that he's satisfied with that plan. But when the insurer examined the story of the condition, the death of this person has not related to anything with the protesting between the two nations. When his father came, he lost everything. He lost his money and lost his son. When I read this story, I want to think about something, what Jesus said in part B. Whoever does not love me would not keep my commandment. Maybe we feel that it's not something dreadful, but the part B. Remember, what you receive from me is not from me. It is from my Father. So, one who has sent me. Jesus does not have a threat, but Jesus wants us to understand that what God is wanting from us is not just from Jesus, it is from the Father. He is wanting to be keeping the commandment or not. So Jesus said one thing, what I have revealed to you is not from me, it's from one who sent me. In one day, you and I will face the Father in heaven. And what we have decided today would respond what Jesus is telling us. Whoever loved me, keep my commandments. May God have mercy in that day, not just a suffering because we have died, but in that day, the judgment of God will be everlasting. So, not just a loss of this body, loss of our soul that God has breathed upon us. That soul will be with God or will be punished everlasting. May God bless you to be reminded, live a life that we can be ready to respond. When Jesus asks, whoever loves me, we can respond, dear Lord, I keep your commandment. We will turn our God toward God to pray. Pray to examine. Today is the first the Sunday of the month. We will have communion. And each of us we have a cup and bread to represent the body and the blood of Christ. You at home also prepare a bread and a cup to represent the blood and the body of Christ. So we can all fellowship in this communion. promise with God, dear God, because loving God, I promise to keep your commandment. Let's all stand. We read the key verse. Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Dear our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, because your word has taught us how our life can be pleasing to you. If we only rely on our knowledge, if we only rely on our logic, if we rely on something that we have done that will be pleasing to us, then we will be completely wrong. But your word has reminded us, when God asks us to do something, when God has revealed his will to each one of us, that's something worth doing. God only wants us to do it, to express our love for him. Oh, dear Father, there are many things that in our flesh we could not do. There are many things in our weakness we could not complete. But your word, may your word remind myself and each one of us here, you are ready, give us the power to complete what you have given us. You love us. You come and dwell within us. It's the way to give us power to complete the responsibility you have given us. Please help so that we can fulfill the commandment that you give us. And this time, each one of us to be united, to receive the cup and bread, to represent your body and your blood. We fellowship with each other in this holy communion that Jesus is commanding us. And Jesus revealed that when we take the cup and the bread and the blood, and we will carry out the responsibility to preach the death of the Lord until the day that you come back. We have relatives, we have friends, we have that the gospel must be preached to them. Maybe even this time there are many of us still have not completed this task. Please forgive us. Save us from this life and give us a commitment to live according to your word. May we be worthy to receive the cup and the bread. We thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.